And then there are the stories dishes can tell. That is, if you've got the chops to know the difference between a good tale and what really happened. Now, those chops led award-winning British food writer and editor William Sitwell deep into the archives of the British Library and down some wonderfully unexpected yellow brick roads. He surfaced with his book, A History of Food in 100 Recipes. William, good to have you with us.
Lovely to be here.
So, you've done this immense project, 100 dishes. What are some of the standouts for you?
One of the things that I really enjoyed in the book was discovering some sort of forgotten food heroes. Some people going right way back into the Roman period. I mean, there's a man called Thomas Coriat, who's a great hero of mine, because in 1611, he left the British shores and travelled around Europe. He was tired of London, and he took himself off around Europe, Italy, Spain, France, and so on. Pretty intrepid traveller. He was so intrepid, actually, that they kept his shoes hung outside his local village church for about 150 years before someone stole them. But anyway, he was in Italy, and he discovered two things. The first thing he came across was an umbrella, which he'd never seen before. So he took the idea of that back to England, and everyone laughed at him. But the other thing he discovered was a fork. He saw these Italian gentlemen in a little tavern using a fork. Now, of course, for hundreds of years, up until the early 17th century and beyond, people just used bread to mop up their food and knives to cut it up, and then they just shoved it into their mouths with their fingers. So he saw this fork, and he took it back to the UK, told his friends about it, wrote about it in his book, Coriat's Crudities, and everyone laughed at him. He was known as furcifer, which is an old English word for pitchfork. And it then took about 200 years for the fork to actually catch on. People thought it was just a sort of rather pointless, effeminate, unnecessary part of, you know, getting food into your mouth. And then there's another man, a man called Denis Papin, who in the 18th century worked for the Irish physicist Robert Boyle. But in Papin's spare time, he started experimenting with what he called a steam digester, or engine for softening bones. And this was basically an early pressure cooker. And he reckoned that this would be a wonderful device to help the poor cook meat and make meat more palatable. And he said also that you could use it for making drinks that wouldn't give you a hangover. He managed to produce puddings out of this thing. He produced this amazing book, which I saw, had held in my hands in the British Library. But poor old Papin was ignored by the Royal Society when he presented his ideas, and he sort of died in a pauper's grave. And about 10 years later, someone patented his own ideas and made a fortune from it. So that's two heroes of mine from food history that people don't know about, so I like to talk about them.
Anybody who's more modern that stayed with you after all that work?
Well, there is a man called Clarence Saunders, who is one of the great figures from food history, because in the early part of the 20th century, he invented the modern supermarket. He was brought up in Massachusetts. He was a poor man, very little money. His mother died when he was young. His father was a labourer, a bit of a profligate, a bit of a drunk. This guy had a very poor upbringing. But then he found his métier working in little grocery stores. And when he was in his early 20s, he saved up some money and wanted to start his own store. What's really interesting is he was coming back from Indiana one day when he was on the lookout for new store formats, because the great problem that he had when he was starting up was the inefficiencies in the business, in that people would come at lunchtime, queue up, and they'd be served by men in white coats who would hand you goods. So for the owners of these businesses, they were rushed off their feet at lunchtime, but the rest of the day, all their staff had nothing to do. Now, he was on this train coming back from Indiana, and the train slowed down, and he was thinking, how am I going to fix this problem? I'm not making any money. And he looked out of the window, and as the train slowed down, he saw a pig farm. And it suddenly occurred to him, because he saw a mother sow with six little piglets, and he thought, that's it, self-service. And 3 months later, Clarence Saunders invented Piggly Wiggly, which is still a chain of supermarkets in this country. And he became a millionaire. He made an absolute fortune. And he was obsessed with the pig. He built a pink palace clad in pig-inspired pink render. He put a bowling alley in there. The problem is, he also went bust because some various unscrupulous traders on the New York Stock Exchange started shorting on his stock. And he decided that he wanted to buy all his stock back, and he bent and broke a few New York trading rules and went bankrupt and was barred from trading and barred from using his own name. And so he dusted himself down and came back with a new format, a new store, which was called Clarence Saunders, Sole Owner of My Name Stores. So you can tell how angry he was. And that didn't go very well. And then he had two other, he invented a thing called Kadoozle, which is a bit like those arcade games where you put money in the slot and a hand grabs something, you know, puts it on a conveyor belt. And he thought that that way people could stand on the streets, put money in, and you wouldn't have any staff. But the problem is all the contraption sort of broke down, everything kind of right, smashed, and it didn't
work.
But
I'm thinking about how sushi is done. You know, on
conveyor
belts.
Yeah, it's not dissimilar to that. Exactly. So he was a man ahead of his time, and sort of on his deathbed, he invented a thing called food electric. And this was a device whereby he said you can have less staff because it's an electronic machine that will read little sort of, well, he didn't call them barcodes, but barcodes on packaging. So you could scan it in and pay a computer. And people said, that'll never happen. Now, of course, that's how so many of us shop these days, you know, we self-scan. Saunders was a great figure. And without him, we wouldn't have the modern format of supermarket. But then perhaps we, you know, he also precipitated the sort of immense slide into consumerism and food packaging and processing food and food factories and so on. And the kind of, you know, this massive growth in how we eat today.
Well, yeah, but I'd rather think of his inventive side rather than the downside.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah, we would have got here somehow anyway, whether Clarence got involved or not.
Exactly. William, thank you.
Thanks very much indeed.
William Sitwell is editor of the UK magazine Waitrose Food, and he's an award-winning food writer. His book is A History of Food in 100 Recipes. Now, one gem of a dish to try is from 1916, and it's called Spaghetti a la Campbell's, as in Campbell's soup. Now, Campbell's ad campaigns back then were about convincing women that they were failures as wives if they didn't serve their husbands Campbell's soup. Why is there an edge to this that sounds very familiar today?